Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fish Cake, CB, and JP, and join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, as he does every Friday. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. Brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf, on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. Beautiful day for golf, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is a beautiful day for golf. No
I feel
doubt.
Like it's been a while since we asked what in the world is bothering John Feinstein. Ooh.
That was actually Jason asked me last week.
Oh, okay,
I asked you
last
week,
and I was fairly content. But
yeah, you weren't content. I was surprised.
Yeah, but I do have one this week. I'm watching all these NFL coaching hires going on. Five of the eight coaches who were fired were African American.
Right.
And look, nobody's arguing that Todd Bowles deserved to be fired, that Hugh Jackson deserved to be fired, that Marvin Lewis had been given a long, long run, and much of it good
Steve
in Cincinnati.
Wilkes. Steve Wilkes kind of pissed me off, though.
Steve Wilkes, 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year.
Vance Joseph, 2 years, and John Elway's never gotten him a decent quarterback. And
it's true.
And okay, whether you want to argue with those hires or not, the six guys who've been hired are all white.
Yep.
And Adam Gase, you know, who everybody thinks is a jerk.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm watching ESPN yesterday afternoon. Don't ask me why. And you know, there's Adam Schefter, who's an apologist for everybody in the NFL, saying, "Well, you know, Adam Gase is a quarterback whisperer. He worked with Peyton Manning in Denver. Peyton Manning needed help in Denver.
Right. I think he had already perfected
Seriously?
The craft by then.
You know, Ryan Tannehill. Oh boy, he's brilliant." And plus Cliff Kingsbury,
yep.
Who appears to have been hired in Arizona because he's good looking. he had a losing record as a college coach, and all this talk about the Rooney Rule and the defensive coordinator in Dallas, Richard, what's his first name?
Chris Richard.
Yeah. Chris Richard. Been interviewed three times. Jobs, but I know people don't like to hear about this stuff. That it's the elephant in the room, race in this country, but boy, this is not a good look for the NFL, in my opinion.
And then how about LaFleur getting a job? Zach Taylor apparently will get the Bengals job. He's only been a quarterbacks coach,
right?
Everybody wants
offensive coaches. I understand that, but there's some talented African American offensive coaches out there too. And you're talking about a league. That 70% of players are African American, and going into this year, seven of the coaches were African American, so that's a little under 25%. That's not a great number, but now, right as of this moment, we're down to two.
But
Mike Tomlin, who's won a Super Bowl,
yeah, but like
and
you
Anthony
said, John,
Lynn, whose team is still alive in the playoffs.
Like you said, John, racism's been in this country forever, not going to change, and it spills.
Well, it's probably not going to change in our lifetimes, so let's put it that way.
Yeah, and then you got all these owners who are older white guys. I mean,
exactly.
It happens.
Exactly. Virtually every owner
now,
in the
like
NFL
said,
is an older white guy, and they're more comfortable with people who look like them.
I don't have a problem firing guys like Todd Bowles, who clearly didn't do the job.
Right. That's what I said at the outset. Hugh Jackson was terrible.
But Wilkes,
he probably should have been fired after last year, after going 0-16 and saying it wasn't his fault. And again, Marvin Lewis, 16 years, you know, he had some very good years, seven playoff runs, but I think they'd had three straight losing seasons. Okay, fine. I don't have an issue with that. But I do have an issue again. There's a shorter leash for African American coaches. I mean, Jim Caldwell got fired after going 9-7 a year ago. If you look around, how often does a white coach get fired after 1 year or 2 years? Not very often.
Mm-mm.
So you asked me the question, I answered it.
You did. All right, you got that off your chest. All right, any thoughts on, let's start with the first game tomorrow, Colts-Chiefs. What are your thoughts
all
on that?
All of a sudden, I'm Andrew Beyer here.
And I know you're an Andrew Luck guy, so.
I am an Andrew Luck guy, and they won... They had the easiest of the four wins last week, and I the Chiefs have not been as good lately as they were early. But I think, and by the way, I think they've lost six straight playoff home games.
Yeah.
So there's reason to pick the Colts. The Colts are obviously playing great. They've won 10 out of 11. They won, as I said, easily in Houston last week. I do think, though, that to pick against Patrick Mahomes, given the year that he's had, is difficult. I think it's going to be a hell of a game, you know, 38-35 type of game, and it may just be that whoever has the ball last wins the game.
Weather could be a factor here, John.
Yeah, and again, the Colts and Luck are an indoor team. So that could work against them, although Mahomes has not played in his career in bad weather very much. I mean, he played college ball at Texas Tech under that genius Cliff Kingsbury. And the Chiefs have not, I think, played in bad weather, really bad weather this year. So we'll see.
Another game that could be affected by weather, Chargers and New England. Now, I don't think there's going to be a lot of snow up there. I think it's going to stay mostly south, but it's certainly going to be cold, probably windy. And Rivers has never beaten Tom Brady. Man, I'm a huge Phillip Rivers fan this weekend.
You could have a future as a weatherman, Jason.
That's his thing.
No, I love it.
He's obsessed with it.
I do pay attention to it.
No, there are. My daughter, Bridget, who's in college, is obsessed with weather. I mean, she knows what the weather is at all times and everywhere, right, and particularly where she is or where she's going. So I get it. You're not alone in that at all. You know, it seems like the popular pick is the Chargers. If they'd beaten the Ravens at home in week 16, they'd have been the number one seed in the AFC. Somehow let that game get away. They dominated the Ravens on Sunday. The only reason that game got even a little bit close was because for some reason they went to a prevent defense, which I think we all call prevent victory. I don't understand why coaches go to it. And the Ravens had scored 3 points in three quarters. And the Chargers defense was completely dominating them. The fans were screaming for Joe Flacco because Lamar Jackson had looked so bad. 0.0 rating first three quarters of the game, quarterback rating. And then they go to a prevent defense and give the Ravens a chance to win at the end. Outside chance didn't happen. But because the Chargers are such a popular pick, I'm going to pick the Patriots. Just because they're the Patriots, and I know they've looked vulnerable. They were 8-0 at home. I think the weather, again, Chargers are a warm weather team, obviously. Even though the referee, Cleet Blakeman, on Sunday at one point opened up his microphone after a Chargers challenge had been turned down, and he said San Francisco will lose a timeout. So everybody in the league still a little confused about where they come from. But just because it's counterintuitive, I'm going to ride with the Patriots, even though obviously no one will be shocked if the Chargers win.
I asked you last week if you ever show an emotion, visible emotion, right, when you're watching a game. And you said occasionally you'll fist pump. Did you do any fist pumping last weekend?
No. I mean, I was happy for Luck. I mean, obviously I was happy for Luck, but there was no fist pump moment in that game. I mean, they dominated from the start. They were up 21-0. And the Ravens were the other team I might have had some emotional investment with. And again, there were no fist pump moments in that game. I fist pumped last night when Josh Bailey scored the winning goal for the Islanders. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, there you go.
The Islanders got one shot on goal in the third period and won the game. They've dominated the Rangers the last few years, which makes me really happy because I have so many friends who are Ranger fans.
What about a fist pump for the Wizards winning in Oklahoma City?
No, not exactly.
No, not exactly.
Nothing? I can't remember fist pumping for either the Bullets or the Wizards. I haven't fist pumped for an NBA team in a long, long time. Last time was probably the 73 Knicks.
Have you fist pumped for a local professional team here?
I was happy for the Caps. I don't know if I fist pumped.
Right.
But I'll tell you, no, I did. I'll tell you when I fist pumped, and part of it was selfish.
Yeah.
In 2011, when they beat the Bruins in Game 7 in overtime, I fist pumped because I always liked George McPhee a lot, and I liked that team, and I was happy they won, and I was particularly happy because I had written in the paper, in the Post,
right,
that the Caps had lost all these Game 7s at home that I thought they were going to win a Game 7 playing on the road.
And you got
so
it.
Part of the fist pump was because I got something right.
But other than that, it's been 7 years since you fist pumped for a home team.
Well, no, I don't know if I fist pumped, but I was very happy for the Caps to win the Cup. Although I had mixed emotions about the final because of McPhee being in Vegas. Mm-hmm. But by the time it became apparent by Game 5, the Caps were going to win. And I was very happy because I've known a lot of people in the organization through the years. And if the Caps aren't playing the Islanders, I root for them.
Right. Were you part of the contingent clamoring for Flacco? Because you're a Joe guy, right? You're a Flacco
guy. Know, I don't know if I was clamoring. I am a Joe guy, no question. There was a lot of conversation at halftime. It was 12-0 at halftime.
That would be the obvious time.
The Ravens had looked helpless on offense. And the discussion was, clearly the Chargers had changed their defense. They were playing three safeties instead of linebackers to contain Jackson. So if you go to Flacco, who obviously is a different quarterback, and you're running a different offense, maybe you catch them not so much off guard, but all their prep had been for Jackson.
Right.
And I was talking to a couple of the Ravens front office guys at halftime. I was saying, does John make the move? And they said, you know, maybe. And their thought was that maybe they give Jackson one series in the third quarter to see if he can get going. And if he can't, then you go to Flacco. And there's Harbaugh right after the second half started talking to Flacco on the bench.
Right.
And it wasn't like just a pat on the back. I mean, he was talking to him for 90 seconds or so, which is a long time in that context. And so everybody was sort of thinking that he was going to make the move, but he never did. And he did say they talked about it. They talked about it with Joe, and they all decided to stick with Jackson. Jackson's their future. Joe's not going to be with the Ravens next year. And they stuck with Jackson. And whether that was the right move or the wrong move, we'll never know.
Right. I know.
You know, Joe might have come in. Joe hadn't taken a snap in 2 months.
Right.
He might have come in and sparked a win, and it would have been great, and I would have been on radio shows all over the country, and we would have sold more copies of Quarterback. So in that sense, I was certainly pulling for it, and also because I like Joe. But he might have also come in and thrown two pick sixes because he was rusty. So yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
What do you make of some of the local college basketball teams as college basketball is heating up? Georgetown just had a tough loss where they're up by 17, but I feel like they are heading in the right direction with Patrick Ewing, and Turge has a pretty good Maryland team.
Yeah, I'm really starting to like this Maryland team. I think going on the road and winning at Minnesota, doing it the way they did, you know, they were behind in the second half. Mark changed defenses, went to a zone. It worked. They ended up scoring, the last 13 points of the game. I mean, they've had a couple of good road wins here. You know, everybody got all fired up because they beat Nebraska at home because Nebraska was ranked 24th. I never thought Nebraska was that good. Still don't. So I wasn't overwhelmed by that. But winning on the road a couple times is impressive. Their young players are good. Bruno Fernando just gets better and better. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. He'll probably come out this year. He almost did last year. But I like this Maryland team. People keep saying how strong the Big Ten is. I look past Michigan and Michigan State. I don't see anybody that good.
Right,
I see a lot of okay teams. And I think Maryland could finish as high as third. And you know, even if they're just in the top five, they're going to be an NCAA tournament team, and that would obviously be a step in the right direction for Mark and for Maryland. So, yeah, I like their team. The thing with Georgetown is you can't keep just saying, oh, we had close losses. You've got to win some of those games, you know, and Xavier's not that good this year. Xavier was, I think, 9-7 going into that game. You get him down 17. I know it's on the road, but you get somebody down 17, you got to win the game.
You got to close them out. Yep.
You got to win the game. And against St. John's, they were up 4 in the last 30 seconds at home, and they let that game get away. They got to start to win a couple of these games. George Mason, I was very surprised, got so far down the other night. God, I'm blocking on who they were playing. They played a very good team. Davidson. I was, because they've been playing really well lately. I still think they're a solid team in the A-10. George Washington's starting to play better than they were awful at the start of the season. Lost their best big guy and really struggled, but they're playing better. Had a good win at St. Joe's the other night. And American is much better than they were, and Navy's pretty good. So we got some good local basketball going on. We really do.
John, any thoughts on the Bryce sweepstakes? It appears the Nats are way more into this than maybe we thought. The market not really materializing.
Yeah.
And it looks like Boris maybe, you know, just going above everybody and going to the big papa, going to the top guy.
Which he's always done.
Yeah, and just cut his own little deal here. So what do you sort of
make
of this whole thing?
I think what happened is, I think, you know, the Nationals made that $300 million offer at the end of the season. And Boris, I'm sure, thought, you know, that's nowhere close. We're going to go get $400 million somewhere. And now he's finding out that the market, and same thing with Machado, for a $400 million player isn't there. I mean, the owners have tightened their belts some. Not, you know, I mean, a guy like Brian Dozier still can get a good contract, and the Mets just signed Jed Lowry, who I think is a very good player, by the way, for 2 years, $20 million. But the market for the, you know, $100 million-plus guys has tightened, and it might well be that in the end, the best offer on the table for Harper is going to be what the Nats have offered. And if it, you know, now again, Lerner said on your radio station, a month ago now, that he wasn't even sure they could pay the $300 million if Boris circled back. I think that's a little bit of a, was a little bit of a negotiating stance. But here's what I will be amused by. If Bryce does come back, which I've said all along would be great for the Nationals, because I'm a big Bryce guy, as you know, to see all the backpedaling that's going to go on in the media for guys who are preparing, you know, for Bryce to leave, saying, well, it's fine if Bryce leaves because they've got all these good young outfielders. It will be great for the Nationals if Bryce comes back, and we'll see everybody go in reverse and say, oh, it's great that he's back, if he, in fact, does come back. We'll see what happens this weekend with the Phillies.
I didn't know you were so pro-Bryce. I didn't really
know
that.
I've always been pro-Bryce.
I didn't know that.
Have you guys been listening to me for the last 5 years?
I know that you hate Boris so much, and you're not a Rizzo
guy.
Well,
Boris is a dirtbag. I mean, let's be honest.
All right, I mean, I don't
know. Even more so than most agents, but that has nothing to do with the player.
Well, and I always know.
If I judged players based on their agents, I wouldn't talk to anybody.
What about radio agents?
Radio agents?
Yeah, or like TV agents.
I don't know. I really don't deal with them. Try not to. Why would I?
He's just a nice enough guy.
Oh, he's a great
guy.
Who is? Throw him in the dirtbag category.
Yeah, he's not a
dirtbag. Who's a nice enough guy?
Our agent.
Well, I don't know him. I can't judge him.
Yeah, well, I'll set him
up. You know, I don't think my literary agent is a dirtbag. Esther Newberg, I've had the same agent for 33 years now.
That's a long run.
I'm not saying everybody. You know, I have had good relationships with agents. Will Wilson, who is Andrew Luck's agent, who I dealt with last year. Not a great deal, but a little bit. Seems like a very good guy. So for me to say every agent is a dirtbag is unfair, but Boris clearly is.
What about Agent Zero, Gil?
Everybody likes
Gilbert Arenas.
Agent Zero.
Oh, Gilbert Arenas. Yeah, I love Gilbert Arenas until he started carrying guns around.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a player, by the way. People tend to forget that because we focus on the way it ended here, which was a shame, of course.
Yeah, right. All right, John, thank you.
I do like Agent Zero, though. I like the nickname.
Yeah, great nickname.
Yeah, yeah. All right, thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, John.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What is your lock of the weekend? If you had to say there was a lock, stone cold lock, you usually would say the Patriots. And based on the numbers, they're 12-2 in the divisional round with Brady.
Are you talking
straight up
at home
or this year? Straight up.
Points.
I think if I had to pick one lock of the weekend, it's the Saints. Saints are rested. They're a different team in that dome.
So just to win, I would pick Saints.
Yeah. Saints 1, Rams 2, though.
What do you think's the most likely upset?
The Colts.
Everybody's high on the Colts. There's a lot of buzz
around the
Colts.
Also the Chargers, right now. If you consider that an upset. I'd say the Chargers. Actually, I'd say the Chargers. Chargers more than the Colts.
But I will say that the weather element, that would worry me a little bit with the Colts. Because I didn't know that there was going to be, would they say, 3 to 5
possibly
inches?
Possibly 1 to 3 inches of snow.
All right, that's not a ton. But, you know, if it's windy, it's definitely going to be cold. That would worry me with the Colts. But if in terms of the, everyone's taking the Chargers. Everyone loves the Chargers, which kind of scares me too.
Right.
Brady doesn't lose home playoff games.
The public is
games.
On the Chargers right now.
Hey, did you know since week 7, the Colts rank number 1 in record, 10-1. They're number 1 in point differential, plus 131.
Yep.
Points allowed per game, 15.5. Sacks allowed, 8. And third down percentage, almost 50%.
They're great. They've been playing great.
Are you betting anymore?
They've been playing like the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Are you betting anymore, Valdez, or no?
Occasionally.
Yeah, but you're not like you used to. Like we were picking games, you're picking winners all the time and throwing cash. Like that, those days have diminished, right? I feel like it's kind of along the lines of your whole, it's just sports. Like you're just
if I watch it, I will throw cash on it. Just to have me interested.
So you're going to bet on four games this weekend?
If I watch all four.
You may not watch a couple of them.
Right.
Any mandate part two between the two producers, or is that just because the Seahawks were playing?
It was just the Seahawks, I think.
That's a one-off?
Yeah.
Seahawks, I mean, we haven't really concocted anything.
You guys fizzled after one date?
No. My wife said she wants to do it again soon. I said, let's take the week off.
Hold on. It was a couples thing?
No. Yeah. The wives got together.
Yeah, the wives got together and everything.
Oh, the wives got together at their homes or whatever, and you guys went to the bar.
At Valdez's house, then we went back to his house afterwards.
Oh, right.
Drank a little
has
bit.
Has anybody come?
Played some games.
Has Valdez come and visited your new abode?
Yeah, he has.
I've cooked dinner for him in this kitchen.
You did?
Very nice. Taco night.
Really?
I hosted a party, and Valdez cooked for me.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, not a party.
Valdez's wife, right? She never cooks? Valdez?
Rarely. Laura. This Laura is Matt Valdez.
I feel like Matt Drabs doesn't either.
Right.
It's a new age.
No. She's never held a pan in her life.
You're the better of the two cooks in the family. All you make is nachos. I mean, you can't.
No, I've actually been trying to learn a lot.
Well, you're going to have a lifetime of terrible meals ahead of you. You two dummies are coming up with it.
I know.
That's awful.
It's not bad. I'm not bad at
it. Would you say that on a weekend, Drabby, on a Friday, Saturday, you usually eat out both those nights, or will you try and make dinner one of those nights?
Sometimes I tried to make dinner.
Sometimes
I made tater tots last Friday
night. Tater tots.
Dinner. That's a side.
Yeah. I do like tater tots. Yeah. But
I mean,
talking about a legit meal where
you ever make like a full meal. Yeah, with vegetables.
Yes, every once.
Protein.
I'm trying to do it once a week.
Once a week.
No. Once a week where I go and buy all the ingredients, like 10 ingredients, put it all together.
What's your go-to? Like, if you know, I'm going to cook tonight, and it's my go-to. It's always hot. My wife always likes it. It's my go-to meal. Everyone has one.
That I make myself?
Yes.
Chicken noodle soup.
That's kind of nubby, though. It's not a full meal.
I told you, I'm just learning.
Yeah.
It could be a little hardy, though.
Huh?
A chicken noodle soup could be good.
Depends on what you put in it.
From dinner. Scratch?
No, it's not a dinner.
You buy like chicken broth.
It could be good. It could be good if it's very cold.
I like it. I'm not saying I hate it, but that wouldn't be considered a meal.
Hey, I'm just starting out.
Right. So that's pretty much it.
Just starting out.
What's your number two?
Fish sandwiches.
Fish and chips.
Fried fish or grilled fish?
Gordon's.
You mean the package fried
fish. So you buy a frozen fish.
I make the sauce myself.
You make the sauce yourself.
You make tartar sauce yourself.
Yeah,
he's basically living in college.
Yeah. Why would you make that's something that's buddies that you just buy?
A healthy alternative. I make it with Greek yogurt instead.
Sure, it's healthy. We just slam it on a fried fish.
That's funny.
What's your go-to over there, Rick?
I make a whole bunch of stuff.
You do?
Yeah, I get sized.
Yeah, he makes a lot.
Probably 3 weeks ago, I made steak and ribs with cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Mm. All right, that sounds good.
Show off.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Cauliflower mash is a little...
Well, Laura wants to eat healthy.
I know it's healthier, it just doesn't taste good.
Right.
Load it up with butter and Parmesan,
Valdez's move is now. Have you noticed he's been walking around with that Evian bottle like a chick?
He's drinking a lot of water.
Right. And he's basically using the same bottle all week and just filling it up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
What's wrong with that? For some reason, you think that's nubby.
It's a little bit nubby. It gets dirty, I feel like. I don't know.
When I start seeing a little specks in here, I'll throw it out and I'll get another one.
Right.
And he's in a different income bracket.
No, I know.
Yeah, I can't afford 1.5 liters of Evian every day.
No,
yeah,
nor should you.
Well, most people have.
He should be saving.
Most people have those little, those trendy swells or whatever everybody
has. Yeah, but they're not a liter and a half.
Yeah,
this is a big boy. I don't have
quantity.
To go back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not one of those guys that goes to the gym with the jug, are you?
No, I don't have a jug.
Well, like a milk jug.
They're all
water.
Kind of
like,
guys.
Like a gallon of water.
The weightlifters, they come in and they have their little jug.
Right.
He likes to look at jugs.
Yeah. When I'm at the gym, yeah.
What he likes.
And I'm not even going to bother asking Adam what he eats because obviously he's eating terribly and he never cooks at home.
No, I've been eating healthy. For the last month and a half. And I actually cooked a silly meal last night.
What'd you cook?
I marinated my chicken in this sugar-free barbecue sauce for a few hours. And then put it on the stovetop with green beans, carrots, and corn.
Nice!
Yeah.
Mixed
it all together.
Meal. Hey, you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah,
what kind of chicken?
It was just a grilled chicken breast that I got from Harris Teeter. Yep.
Just right. One or two?
Just one.
Oh. One.
One breast. And I actually, like, I beat it down because I like it to be skinnier.
Like, you like it? You beat it with, like, a mallet?
Yeah, I do.
You don't have, your date is tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
And here's where we'll crowbar in the hike. Your hike isn't like a mountain or something.
It's more of a walk in the park.
It's a walk.
Yeah, you're walking on a trail, and you're considering that a hike.
Yeah, because we asked him, where is he going hiking?
Yeah.
You know, his response was, Ballston. Have you ever been to Ballston? It's nothing but high rises and office buildings. Right. It's a mini concrete jungle.
That's the actual of a grapefruit.
He's going for a walk. He's not going for a hike.
He's going
for
walking to like a metro stop.
And by the way, it's going to be like 25 degrees. I'm sure that'll be fun.
It'll be the worst walk in history.
Why would you do that?
Bundle up. Hold hands. Get to know each other.
Right. Walk yourself right to the bar.
Did she know that that's your big plan is to go for a walk?
Yeah.
Didn't you claim that your plan was to bring, like, wine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You pregame with wine. It's a wine walk, you know.
You pregame, but then don't you walk with wine? Then,
no, yeah. You have a backpack, and I haven't gotten it yet.
You're going to do that in a backpack from Ballston?
I'm going to get the backpack wine.
Ballston, isn't that like Crystal City, essentially?
Yes.
You get a backpack through Crystal
there's
City?
There's actually a lot of construction going on there, and there's all these new, like, bars and restaurants opening, so it's kind of a nice
what
scenery.
Is this wine backpack you're talking about? Please don't tell me that you're going to have a backpack that has, like something you
like
can...
Like a camel thing.
Yeah, like a camelback.
That would be the trick.
That has a little straw.
They have, like, sangria wine packs that you put in a backpack, and then you just kind of, like... Slap the bag. That's what you do.
Really?
Yeah. That's what we used to get messed up with in college. Just slap
the bag. He wishes he was in college still so bad.
So bad.
He wants to go back.
When's it going to turn for him?
I don't think ever.
Yeah. No, college is the greatest 4 years of your life.
No,
yeah.
If he finds one of these chicks where he actually has a relationship, it'll change. Finds one sucker.
No, he won't because that's not college. You don't have a relationship in college.
I know, but he's going to end up getting sized for some girl down the road. Might be at 28 or 29, and then his life will turn. And all of his broskies are going to get married off.
No, I think he's always going to be kind of like that single loser at the bar.
Right.
Yeah.
You mean the single winner at the bar.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Trying to pick up every girl.
Right. And go home.
And fail miserably.
Yeah, go home with nothing. And then, like, do terrible Instagram stories.
Which you can follow at the one sports nerd.
Oh, I like how you snuck that in.
Isn't there somebody for everybody? Isn't that the phrase? The cliche?
There is, but he has an overinflated view
really
of himself.
Does.
Right.
So he thinks he should be dating a certain quality, and his quality that would settle down with him is honestly
like a
two.
Yeah. He could date plenty of fours.
And he won't even allow himself
to consider
it.
He wants to date an 8.5.
EB, looking at me right now, what number would you put me at?
Oh, you're not gonna like the answer.
Do you think it's going to be a good number?
That silly wizard's jacket.
Yeah, the silly wizard's jacket, my haircut.
I'm going to be completely honest. And I'm not going to be mean. I'm just gonna
be honest.
I'm going to be honest.
No, you don't. Yeah. I'm going to give you right now.
Hold on, let me look at it.
I'm going to give you a 6.
Really?
Well, I think
I'm kind of sized.
I think
that's
generous. I'm going to give you a 6.
And that's, you haven't even been close enough to look at my eyes. That's a +1.5 from these blue eyes.
No, your
eyes
are nothing
special. Your personality brings it down about 4.
I'm going to give you a 6 is probably a stretch because I know how fat you are and everything. But I'm trying to be nice and trying to be honest. I'm not trying to do like shtick.
Right.
That's your peak though. That's your ceiling. Is a 6. I don't think you go any higher than that.
But can a 6 go out swinging for 8s? That's my question.
No.
Yes, of course.
If you get rich.
I don't know.
Start
How's
Amazon.
That gonna happen?
When's that, when's
Jeff
that
Bezos or something?
Yeah, yeah. He's the next innovator.
No, but I mean that's the only way you could do. Like you saw the pictures of Jeff Bezos. We talked about it yesterday.
Bezos,
whatever his name is. Bezos.
Beezy.
It's Bezos.
I think it's pronounced Bezos, but I could
be
wrong.
All right. Well, then spell it Bazos.
Well, send him a letter.
So Jeff Bezos. You look at the pictures of him 25 years ago. What a schnerd he was, and now he's all ripped on the testosterone and everything. He looks like Vin Diesel.
We gotta get Adam testosterone pills.
Yeah. Would you do that? You should be a guinea pig.
I don't think experimental
drugs.
Can
you just run scientific experiments
on
him?
Can you go to your doctor who just gives scripts for anything?
No.
Sure.
And give him testosterone.
I'm sure my doctor
can you just order it now? Like that Frank Thomas commercial?
Can we do that with you?
Eugenics.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be experimental. People all over the world
Can we do that with you? Get you on a T?
I would probably have to run it by my personal doctor.
What? You have a doctor?
I'm just joking. He's kidding. I'll do it. I'll do anything for the bit.
Yeah, we do this for the bit. Let's get him on tea.
All right.
See what he does.
Hey, give me some, too.
Can the women in the Frank Thomas commercial just come right out and say they just want to bang Frank Thomas?
Do you hate that commercial? Hey, look, isn't that Frank Thomas over there?
Oh, it's the Big Hurt. He's over there racking the weights.
By the way, what's the percentage of women who would be able to identify Frank Thomas?
Zero.
He can walk into my gym, not one woman knows who he was.
But in Fantasyland, in that commercial, the women should just be honest. Like, we want to bang
Frank
Thomas.
That's so funny that he's referencing that.
What's it for?
It's for male enhancement.
Eugenics.
Like, eugenics. He
for male enhancement? For like a Johnson?
No, it's
testosterone.
Testosterone. It's thinly veiled
supplement.
Male enhancement supplement.
The whole commercial is filmed in a gym.
Right. Well, let's get maybe there's somebody listening that could prescribe some tea to Adam. Let's see if it changes your world. You'll probably lose your belly.
Yeah, but I'm already doing that by myself.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
I don't know, man. You need help.
I think
I look pretty good right now.
What if
it's only been a month
and a half?
What if we
just got him on, like, steroids?
Is that why you want to go on a hike? That's your exercise for the day?
It's my exercise.
It's also a free date.
Yeah. So that JP's right on there.
That is true.
The less money I spend on the date.
Yeah, but a free date for you is Pamplona.
Yeah, but
you can't go there 100 times.
I can't go there 100 times, yeah.
And you have to tip.
Well, you do.
Yeah, but I can't take dates there 100 times.
You can't keep taking a date the same spot.
But this one, you haven't taken
a Pamplona yet.
Right.
Yeah, you could.
I'm going to bet that date gets canceled or you guys
she bails.
Well, maybe not. It's just going to be cold.
She wouldn't even drink with him.
Who's going to want to walk outside in 25 degrees?
Not me.
It's because it made up.
Huh?
There's no plan to go on a hike. He never checked in with her about it.
Oh,
everybody
it's Friday.
Right.
Look at Collette.
You got your paycheck.
She's got your paycheck.
Look
how Jason. You see him smile?
I know. I just like to see Collette.
Yeah, you like to see Collette.
Collette's my girl.
Former Redskin, now with SiriusXM NFL Radio and The Athletic. He's host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Also has Ball Cannon going on, ballcannon.com. He catches balls every day.
Yeah. Catches more balls than Antonio Brown.
Works on his hands.
Roosie.
Ross, are you there?
I'm here. What's up, dudes?
Hey, man.
Up, Ross?
You know, before we get into all the games and everything, we were just debating it in the last segment. I'm the only Skins fan here of the bunch of us. Everybody's got their own sort of team that they root for. And, you know, there's no hope for you as a Skins fan, right, with management, with Dan Snyder and everything. You know, you saw in the last game how embarrassing it's gotten. I'm willing to swing and miss with Kyler Murray. I'm willing to go for it. Are you a Kyler Murray guy or not?
Well, first of all, I think he's making the right decision to play football, primarily for my personal entertainment value. And I know that's a big factor for him.
Right.
Because I sure as heck am not going to watch him play baseball for the Oakland A's.
Right.
And definitely not minor league baseball. So
right.
He didn't ask me. I think he just knew deep down in his heart
right.
that playing football was the right thing to do for my value of watching games on TV the next few years.
Sure.
So I give him a lot of credit for that. It's unselfish. You know what is actually crazy, by the way? You know, Lamar Jackson got a $9 million contract with $7.5 million fully guaranteed the first 4 years
right.
as the last pick in the first round. So, you know, he got $4.6 million to sign from the A's, but, you know, he's going to be in the minors for at least three years
yep.
or whatever. So he actually makes more money in the short term for sure in football. And then if he shows he's a starting quarterback, he makes more, unless he's Bryce Harper or something, which that's kind of hard to be. So, I think it's probably worth it at this point, man.
Right.
I do.
But are you pro Kyler Murray? In other words, if you were a fan of a team that needed a quarterback, would you be willing to roll a first-round draft pick out there for him?
Would you take him at 15 if you were the Skins?
I would strongly consider it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten to the point now, the more I watch football at any level, high school, college, NFL, I just think that the height thing is getting more and more overrated. And
I'm with you.
You know, guys that have what he possesses, I just think it's rare and unique. You know, like I think he's got a great chance to be better than Lamar Jackson. He throws the ball better than Lamar Jackson. So
I agree.
Look at what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson. He's A, faster than Lamar Jackson, because Kyler Murray might be the fastest dude I've ever seen in my life. He's certainly the quickest quarterback I've ever seen. And then he clearly throws the ball much, much better. So yeah, I mean, Ravens won a bunch of games. I don't think Lamar Jackson taking as many hits as he did is sustainable, but I think Kyler is so quick and probably smarter about that. Yeah, if I were the Redskins, I would strongly consider taking Kyler Murray at 15. I kind of like that idea.
But, Ross, the worst part about that is if he's as good as advertised and he wows at the combine, he might go before 15, leaving the Redskins to pick from a guy like Drew Lock or somebody of that ilk if they want to take a quarterback in the first round in 2019.
He might, but, you know, I think some of those teams are going to end up trying to get, you know, who are the teams that we know are probably going to want quarterbacks ahead of the Redskins, right? Like the Giants and the Jags.
Maybe
the Dolphins.
Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Denver, although, you know, they got Keenum under contract for another year. So my point would be that I don't think a team would take him instead of Haskins. So I think Haskins will probably be the first one to go. And I do think, like, the Jags, they're not going to draft a quarterback. They're going to get either Flacco or Foles. So you might be able to sit there at 15 and still get Kyler Murray because there aren't really that many teams that really want a quarterback. And I think at least one or two of them will probably get Foles or Flacco. I think one of them will probably draft Haskins. So if you guys are the fourth team that needs a quarterback, it might work out perfectly. Plus, a lot of people really like the Duke kid, too.
Daniel Jones
from Duke.
Yeah,
I'm curious, Ross. Just I don't know the answer here. I don't want to play a little height correlation game with you. During your career, give us the shortest quarterback you played with and the tallest quarterback.
Tony, like, that I played with, not guys I've seen.
No, played with.
Tony Banks is pretty tall. My rookie year with you guys in 01 with the Redskins.
Was he 6'5"? Was he that tall?
I think he might have even been 6'6". Tony Banks is tall.
Yeah.
Tony's a big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony was tall.
But not that good. All right, so let's go to the short
pedestrian.
No, you know what? I've always said if you're over 6'6", you're screwed. I mean, think about like Ryan Mallett and Dan McGuire and Osweiler and Paxton Lynch. You know, a lot of those guys.
Peyton and Brady are about 6'5".
That's fair. That's fair. Maybe that's the max. I mean, maybe 6'6".
And Trevor Lawrence
if you're over 6'6". Yeah, those guys, the guys that are over 6'6", it's like they're just not as quick twitch. They just don't. Their release isn't as quick. It's kind of elongated. That's why they throw it so hard, because they've got that long lever for the whip. So, okay, I'm trying to go through my career. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, Bledsoe was pretty tall.
Oh, yeah. 6'5".
Alex Van Pelt was pretty short. because I'm trying to think of. Then I went to New England. Brady's tall. Cleveland. Charlie Fry, I remember. Oh, Derek Anderson was tall and pretty good, actually. Yeah. Derek Anderson was solid quarterback. Still, like, played like a million years.
He's still in the league.
I feel like he's still in the league.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he went to the Bills, played a game, and then hung out in concussion protocol for the rest of the year.
That's nice.
And got paid. Just got paid.
And then the last team was the Skins 07. That was Brunell and Jason Campbell. Brunell's not that tall of a dude. I don't think I played with, like, a guy. You know, the shortest guy I played with is probably Danny Werfel with the Spurrier Skins in 02. It was Danny Werfel and Patrick Ramsey and Shane Matthews. So Werfel was probably the shortest, but I don't think he's a great example of, like, you know, what you'd be getting with a short dude.
By the way, how
unseriously is Steve Spurrier taking coaching in whatever? I don't even know the name of the league.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of that league? The AAFL?
AAF?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't even take coaching for the Redskins seriously. And now he's like, 12 to 15 years removed from that? I can't even remember how long ago it was.
Well, I mean, I told you guys the stories before, so we don't need to go over it again. But, I mean, I had 9 head coaches in my time in the NFL. And he was by far the worst in every way, which is just, it makes me, like, I'm amazed by the success he has in college, whether it was Florida or Duke or then even South Carolina.
Right.
He must be a really good recruiter. It must be like the charm, the Southern charm thing with the moms. Because even when he went to South Carolina, he was able to get those guys like Lattimore, Stephon Gilmore, Clowney, like, he was able to get those guys to actually go to South Carolina. So it must be the recruiting part of it.
But you also might have caught him in what we like to call, like, kind of the punt fest portion of his career. You know what I mean? He wasn't in the grinding portion of his career, maybe.
That's fair. He definitely was not in the grinding portion. But you would have thought that he kind of wanted to prove that he could do it in the NFL. Like, you would have thought like he wanted to prove that he's the best coach around and he can do it. In all sincerity, so first of all, guys, he had nothing to do with the defense at all. He would literally like stand behind like the players and coaches while the defense is out there. And he knew nothing about pass protection, which was stunning. But then even like, I can remember like watching games and he had all these different route combinations. And the next day we would watch the film as the offense. And like, he'd say, yeah, Danny, you gotta just probably just throw the check down here. They had this one covered up pretty good. Next one.
Right.
This is one, Danny. Probably you probably just forgot to throw the check down again here. They had this one covered up pretty good. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, dude. We don't have like your pass protection's pathetic. We only have two protections and the team already knows what it is. And even the ones where we're blocking well, you're saying, yeah, they had this one covered up pretty good. 7 out of 10 times, and you guys throw the check down. I remember in training camp, his first year, it was my second year, thinking, even though we were winning, I was like, we got problems. Like, we got major, major problems.
But to be fair,
I don't even know how we went like 7-9 that year.
To be fair, you guys won 7 games, and I want to say your top running back was like Trunk candidate. It wasn't like you guys were loaded with talent.
Yeah, I mean, in 02, Steven was still on the team, but he didn't like that. The weird part about that year was I started every preseason game and we were killing people. And then midway through the year, they cut me to sign Trey Johnson, which made no sense. Spurrier wanted to throw the ball every down. So he brought in like a road grading guard, Trey Johnson, and cut me. I went to the Cowboys the next day. I see Spurrier. I go into my locker room to clear it out. And Spurrier goes, Cowboys, huh? Well, don't be telling them my secrets. I was like, dude, as soon as I get there, I'm telling them about your two pathetic protections right away.
Of course he is.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's your secrets, right. They're terrible, but I'm going to tell them anyway. And then, so what's crazy is that I started twice against the Redskins that year. I started on Thanksgiving, like a month later, on Thanksgiving against the Redskins, and somehow we beat them. And the crazy thing is, like, the defense was like Big Daddy Wilkinson, Daryl Gardner, Ronaldo Wynn, Bruce Smith, Champ Bailey, Fred Smoot, Jeremiah Trotter, Armstead, LeVar,
loaded.
And the safeties. I'm trying to remember who the safeties were. It was like Sam Shade. But like literally, based on pedigree, I mean, that defense should have been unbelievable. And I'm playing for the 0-2 Cowboys. We were terrible. Emmitt was slow. The offense, and we won that game. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Hey, Ross, real quick, we were talking about height and quarterbacks, and you're up there in Penn State country, and one of the shorter quarterbacks that will be at the combine will be Trace McSorley. I was wondering, where do you think he'll be drafted, and where do you think he tops out?
Yeah, so I do some Penn State media, and so I've watched every snap the kid's played.
Yeah.
I freaking love him. Mm-hmm. He is the best quarterback Penn State's ever had. Now, he's not Kerry Collins as like a pro prospect, but what he did the last 3 years is unbelievable. This was probably his worst year.
It was, yeah.
But they had to have led college football in drop passes. They had to. And he was hurt. He had like 3 injuries. I hear he's going to be a mid-round pick. And he is sure as heck worth a mid-round pick and giving him a shot because he just finds a way. And he seems to me, with a lot of these offenses these teams are running, these RPO offenses, right, like he's athletic enough that he can get you some yards there. He throws it well enough that I think he could have some success. I would highly recommend him as a mid-round choice if you don't take somebody high.
Talking to Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I know you only have a couple minutes. What is your biggest lock of the NFL playoff weekend, and which one do you think is most likely to be the upset?
So this is my favorite weekend of the year. Mm-hmm. I think it's crazy. This is the second weekend in a row that I really could see every road underdog winning. Now, like last week, I have a gambling podcast. It's called Even Money. Last week, I literally took every road dog, and I won 3 of them. and the only one I lost was, or I pushed the Seahawks getting 2 points. I feel the same way this week on Even Money Podcast. Again, I said, take the road dog in every game. I mean, 4 points, 5.5, 7-9. You got to be kidding me. I could see the road team winning every game. The road team I think has the best chance to win is the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just not sold on the Rams right now, the way they finished. And the Cowboys, I know you guys don't want to hear this. And trust me, I do a lot of Philadelphia radio. They don't want to hear this. Cowboys are good. I mean, they Zeke is good. They beat the crap out of the Seahawks. If Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin and Lockett didn't have like some crazy catches and throws, they would have gotten smoked in that game. So I like the Cowboys to beat the Rams if I had to pick one. And then the lock, I don't think any of them are locked, but if the lock, I mean, I'm taking the Saints. The Superdome, I'll be at that game on the sideline for Wesson 1. It'll be my third game there. Superdome, I don't know if you guys have been there.
Never.
That place is bonkers. And the Eagles have had an unbelievable run here, but I still think the Saints are the best team in football. So that's a major, major ask for the Eagles to keep this rolling in. And I know the Eagles won last week, but if the kicker didn't have the double doink, they would have lost. So give me the Saints as the lock if I have to pick one.
All right, I now need to add a new item to your resume. So we've got Westwood One. We've got SiriusXM NFL Radio. We've got The Athletic. We got Ball Cannon. We got the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We got the Even Money Podcast.
Oh, I have like 5 podcasts. I have a Fantasy Feast podcast. So the thing is for the media, you guys know how it is. Like I lose a gig, gain a gig every offseason. The podcast is the only thing I actually own, and it's mine, and I can't have a boss say, yeah, we're not doing these games anymore or whatever. So yeah. I'll always do the podcast. You guys don't want to do the ding for all the podcasts. But I can give you other things to ding. I got a bunch of – I have like 5 weekly paid radio hits. I just come on with you guys for free whenever you guys want me to because you're awesome.
Very nice. I'm
surprised you haven't asked us for money yet.
Yeah. Our budget is zero, so we got nothing.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Thanks, Ross.
Ross, we know you got to go. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Ross.
He likes all the road dogs.
He does. It's a Football Friday brought to you by the one and only Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Reminder, we're going to be there next Sunday for Championship Weekend.
Yes, we are.
Hanging out, starting at 1 o'clock, placing some wagers, have a little Q&A.
That's right.
It'll be 3 of the junkies, Cakes, myself, and Bish.
So we will see you there on January 20th.
Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our buddy Brandon Lang. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, boys?
Thanks for the game. Thanks been for treating you. Jason said you had a big play on Clemson.
You and I both.
Yes. Biggest I've ever had in my career, 27 years.
How is that a million dimer? What does that mean, biggest play?
Meaning that when you structure your website so guys know how much to bet on a 25 dimer and how much to bet on a 200 dimer, I'll never exceed. I won't now come out next year in football with a 400-dime college play twice as strong as my 200-dimer on Clemson. No. Uh-huh. The cap on college football is a 200-dimer, and I'd come with one before. That was Michigan over Ohio State, which was arguably the worst call any human being could ever make on the history of the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then to come back with Clemson as my second 200-dimer, but the biggest BCS championship release. But it was what I wrote about my analysis. I was talking to Brad Johnson about it, that it's one thing to tout Clemson plus the points. It's another thing to say you're going to think they're going to win outright. But in my analysis, I said it's not going to be close. They are going to blow them out.
Wow.
And to make that call and make it a 200-dimer, and it just to say certain things in your analysis. I think at the end of my analysis, I said 4 years ago, they punched him in the mouth and didn't win, but they knew they could play with him. The next year they beat him. The next year in the semis, which was last year, Kelly Bryant couldn't hit the Goodyear blimp from 5 yards away. And then after that, they came here knowing we're the better team. We're now the better program. Good night. And you could see it. And I'll tell you this, everyone's making Tua to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. The kid isn't even going to be a great pro. Mark my words, he can't read defenses. There's never been a left-hand quarterback who's been successful since Kenny Stabler. And when has Alabama ever produced an NFL
Steve
quarterback
Young,
that we get excited
Steve
about?
Steve Young, come on.
Mark Brunell right, was decent.
I'm sorry.
Don't bypass my boy, Stevie Y.
Okay, Steve Young is the only one. Maybe Jim Zorn if you want. But that's it.
Yeah.
So that was a great call. And then to then turn around in college basketball and have Drake plus two outright on Tuesday, Ole Miss at home plus four outright. I'm on a 27-9 run in college basketball going back to last year. And of those 27 winners, 21 have been dogs outright.
Because you and I pick fatties. That's why.
You pick fatties. By the way, listen, it's almost upsetting to me now, not to sound like I'm out of my mind, that if I release a home dog in college basketball, I'm pissed if they don't win outright.
All right, well, send me some home dogs this weekend.
I will.
All right, let's start with the, you know, I'm sure you have plays on all these games. You can give us what you want, but start with the Colts Chiefs. What are you leaning here? 5.5, 57.
That's up on the website right now. It's 200 dime NFL, winner number 7 in a row.
Okay, all right, so we'll bypass that game.
Think about that.
Yep. I think I know.
7th straight 200 dime NFL winner going back to last year.
Well, but he can get into it.
Now, I think I know where you're leaning, but...
Do you like this Colts team? I mean, they've won 10 out of 11. The defense has been playing great since week 7.
How could you not like them?
Well, two things going on. One, the value of the number. It's the lowest number a number one seed has laid in the divisional round in 15 years. Wow. Normally, they're laying over a 7 number. So you have the value of the number tells you be careful because you're not. Same thing with the Patriots and the Chargers. They're never laying less than 7 in the division round in New England. Game scares the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's can they keep it going? This is a big task for the Colts. And, you know, Tom Mahomes is not Deshaun Watson. So
when you get this deep into the playoffs, do you feel like you're obligated to have plays on all 4 games?
No, I only released one play on my website a day now.
Okay.
That's it. So, and that has turned into a much better product than years ago when you're releasing 4 plays and you go 1-3.
Start MFing you and want to threaten you.
Well, they still MF me. That's never going to change, but it's been a much better product lately, and especially in the NFL. Really at 21-10, last 31. So it's good. It's good. So
where do you lean? And where do you lean? Boys, Rams, 7 and 49.5.
You got to take the dog. You just do. What has Jared Goff showed you that you're confident he can cover 7? Number. He was horrible against Atlanta. When he's faced good defenses, he has struggled. I will force Jared Goff to play this unbelievable game. I'm not so sold on him. He has moments. I think Cooper Kupp being out crushes them. And I like the fact Dallas is going to be able to run the football. Rams give up 5.2 yards a carry. That's second worst in the NFL. I'm going to take Dallas by the half point, plus 7.5.
And I like the under, too. All right, Chargers-Pats. Chargers-Pats, you said this game scares you. What do you think?
God.
4-48.
It's the hardest game on the board. Because I've always said for years, anytime you get Tom Brady at home laying less than 7, the value of the number says you have to lose with New England. You can't go against that. But you look at this Charger team to have gone on the road this year. They have won at the 5 toughest places in the NFL. They've won at Seattle. They've won at KC. They've won at Pittsburgh. They've won at Baltimore. And they've won at Buffalo. The 5 toughest places to win. They play better on the road than good old Carson, California. You guys ever been to Carson, California?
Never.
No, I hope I never have to go to Carson.
2 things. Goodyear Blimp and Jameel Holloway is from there.
Oh. Mm.
Who coincidentally was the last freshman quarterback to win a national championship before Boy Lawrence.
Yep.
I just think that I'm going to take the 4.5. Call me crazy. Patriots could blow them out. There's a 16-0 stat out there. Home teams in the divisional round coming off a favorite loss in the playoffs last year are like 16-0 against the spread when laying less than something.
In their next game?
In their next game,
really,
in the playoffs,
that just confused me.
Yeah, so that's there's a huge stat supporting the Patriots. So,
all right, Eagles Saints 4:40, last game of the weekend in the dome. Drew Brees has never lost a home playoff game with the Saints. If you like the Saints, you lay 8 or 8.5. Totals 51, pushing 51.5.
I got a number for you. 29 of 43 for 305 yards. What's that number?
29 of 43 for 305 yards. I don't know. I'm lost.
That's Mitchell Trubisky last week against the Eagles secondary.
Ah, yeah. Now, but they couldn't run, though.
Breeze went for 360, I believe, in the first match.
Right. So I think we can all agree that Mitchell Trubisky can't hold Drew Brees' Johnson in an orgy. I think we can agree with that.
That is true.
Okay, so if we put that in its proper context, what is Philadelphia going to do differently that leads us to believe? I've always said this. You know why you get blowouts in the playoffs?
Go ahead.
Because a team that shouldn't be there gets there. Hmm. The Bears' defense takes the field with 5 minutes to go. Eagles have the ball on their own 40, and they make the stand right there. Eagles aren't here. Bears are in L.A., Dallas is here in the Saints, and you get two incredible rematches. You get a great rematch of the Chicago-L.A. game, the Sunday night game in Soldier Field, which was 15-6, and you get the great rematch of Dallas and New Orleans from the Thanksgiving game. So we get Philly going now. Great story, Nick Foles, I get it, but I just think the right side of the game is Drew Brees.
I like it. I think your two-team tease of the weekend is Colts-Saints. Brandon Lang, thank you. BrandonLang.com. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, man.
Got it, guys. Be good.
All right.
Got a bunch of squeaky leaders.
Get all your picks
200
now.
Dimer. Not going to do it, but I'm intrigued by Tucker just saying taking all the road dogs. It's not bad. It's not a bad strategy. I did
last week. Not necessarily outright.
No. But you're catching a lot of points.
Just take the points.
You're catching a lot of points.
Put
them
in a three-game teaser. I always would rather get the points.
Let me know if you want a three-game tease. I
might have to do that.
Right.
I'll get a tingle teaser ready.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.